Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7. It's already been an interesting day. I had one of my guys tell me a while ago I looked good enough to bury. And so I appreciate that. You hear some folks saying, "Oh my, how natural he looks." Well, I don't know. I guess it's all good. Thank you, Norman. I appreciate that, brother. You're a blessing. You're a blessing to me. All right. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 7. We've been thinking about the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Now, the Lord Jesus does a lot of things in His ministry, His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ministry today. But what we've been thinking about is the way that Jesus prays for us. Because I think that is something that you can't put a price tag on. You can't put a worth on. It's just far too valuable to even, you know, try to figure out. But we saw a few weeks back how that Jesus prayed for Peter and his disciples. He said, "Satan has desired to sift you, to have you, but I have prayed for you." And we saw how, last week, we saw how that Jesus prayed for his enemies. He prayed and said, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." He prayed for the very people who were hurting him, who were nailing him to the cross, who were responsible for that. But today we're going to look and see how that the Lord Jesus' prayer ministry continues today. And I've kind of wondered about this over the years. I've kind of wondered about this this thing about heaven. Because there's a lot of questions we have about heaven. And part of that we just won't know till we get there. You know, we're just not going to know all the ins and outs and how everything works and the details. But I've always wondered, do people still pray in heaven? Well, I want to just suggest to you, based on our text this morning, that the Lord Jesus prays in heaven. And I suggest that I believe some of those dear folks that you've lost, man, they're praying for you today. But they're praying for you in a way they never could when they were here. And so, you know, I don't know all of that. I want us to look together. Chapter 7 of Hebrews, verse 25. We're going to zero in on that verse. We're going to look at several scriptures today. So if you would, keep your Bibles handy and be focused on the Word. Be thinking about what God is saying to us here. But notice chapter 7, verse 25. And if you have found your place, and if you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's holy Word. "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful this morning for so many blessings. But Lord, could there be a greater one than that today, at the very throne of God, we are represented by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And so, Father, we pray today that You would impress upon our hearts and our minds this precious truth. God, we pray today that You would help us to see and understand something about who You are and what You do for us that we may not take into account consistently, regularly, Lord. Help us to understand it. And, Lord, I just pray that it would change the way we think, change the way we live. God, I pray that it would help us to trust You more, to believe You, God, and to know that You're able. Lord, to handle our needs, our situations. Father, I just pray that this morning You would spark a fire in our hearts. Lord, burn bright within us, God. Do a sweet work, we pray. And Father, we thank You for this. We praise You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Daniel, I'm going to ask that we do one thing different at the end. I want to ask you to come and lead us in before the throne of God above. And so, Fred, if you don't mind, when we get to that end, you can maybe pull that up for us. Amen. All right. Well, let's think about this. Because what Hebrews does is Hebrews, and by the way, James is preaching through Hebrews with our young folks right now. And I admire his tenacity and his willingness to get into the Word. Because, man, that's some good stuff, but it's deep waters. And pray for our young people. Not on that account, really, but just in general. What we see in Hebrews is that Jesus is our high priest. And the neat part about it is that His priesthood is very different from the Levitical priest who served in Israel. Okay, His priesthood was very different from them. And it was different in this way. Number one, it was different in that they were sinners. Okay, it was different in that they were sinners who had themselves sin to be atoned for. You know, they're coming into the presence of God on the Day of Atonement, on Yom Kippur. Every year, the high priest would come and he would enter into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God. And there he would sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat. And he would make atonement, covering for the sins of the people and for his own. But you see, the Lord Jesus is quite different. Because the Lord Jesus has no sin of His own. He has no sin of His own to atone for. And so when He comes into the very presence of God, when He comes and He Himself is the sacrifice, but He's also the priest. And when He comes into the presence of God to make atonement for our sins, He is absolutely unique. He is absolutely separated from every other priest who's gone before Him. Because He is holy. He has no sin of His own. And so because of that sin that those priests, those high priests over the years, because of the sin that they carried, they all died. Every single one of them died. And they had to appoint a new high priest. And another one after that. And another. And another. And it was a succession of high priests, one after another after another. But you see, that also is a way in which Jesus is completely different. Because Jesus is eternal. Jesus never will die. And so we see in chapter 7 there, verse 26. He says, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." You see, Jesus is completely different from those high priests, from Caiaphas and Annas and all those of Jesus' day and all the generations before. Because he is sinless, he is perfect, he is holy. That verse 26, you could say that he is holy, he is innocent, he is undefiled, he is separated from sinners, and he is exalted above the heavens. Look, we have a Savior today who is worthy of our praise because he is sinless and holy, but also because he is eternal. He does not pass away. This priesthood will never change. And it says here, you know, the picture in the Old Testament is that from one high priest to the next, the baton was passed. Some of y'all been watching the Olympics this week. You've seen some of those relays get really messed up. And, you know, the men's team got disqualified the other day. The ladies' team, you know, boy, it's really critical that passing the baton to that next runner. Well, the baton was passed from high priest to high priest. But finally, it comes to Jesus, and there it remains. No more to be passed along. No more. Why? Because chapter 7, verse 16 speaks of Jesus. And it says, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Folks, when you think about this, understand that we have one who intercedes for us today, who is eternal. We're never going to have to wonder what the next guy is going to do. We're never going to have to wonder who the next one's going to be. Because it is Jesus. He was absolutely unique. Able to pay for our sins. Romans chapter 6 and verse 9 tells us, it says that knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. And so, folks, what we see today is we have a high priest who has passed into heaven, and he has gone through the dark valley of the shadow of death. He has come out victorious on the other side. He's been raised to life again, and he will never be subject to death again. So what kind of high priest do we have? Well, we got a perfect one, a holy one, one who is sinless, one who knows the holiness of God. I mean, you know, it's hard for us to even pray about that because we don't know the holiness of God. We know about it. We read about it. We heard about it. But I don't think it's really even entered into our hearts and minds what God is truly like. What His presence is truly like. Well, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17, John writes these words. It says, and when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. And He laid His right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Amen. Well, that's good to know. Because, man, this life can be challenging. It can be hard. You know, it's good to know when we got folks who love us praying for us. That's good. It's encouraging. It's helpful. How much more that the sinless, eternal Son of God is interceding for you today, praying for you. When I pray for you, I'm praying, but man, sometimes I don't know what to ask for. Sometimes I don't know what your real problem is. I don't know what your real need is. Do you think God knows all that? Absolutely. He knows us inside and out. Hebrews 13 and verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same. So, Jesus continues forever. Back in Hebrews 7, notice verse 23. It says, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. And that word unchangeable, it literally means that which is not passed along. All right, so today, that's who we have in heaven praying for us. Now you say, well, how important is that? Well, you remember how it was at Christmas time? We were kids. And you'd get that toy, you know. You'd get that toy. The one you've been dreaming of, thinking about, wanting. you'd circle it in the wish book. Y'all remember the Christmas wish book? Some of these young folks love it. Sears catalog, man. I mean, that's where it was at. We'd get that, and boy, you just start turning through the pages. Find the toy section. Find the parts you really loved. And we'd go through and we'd start circling. Oh, and Mom, I've picked out a few things in there. And hope. Hope, you know, we're going to get what we want. But you get that toy. And I mean, I remember this because there were times I'd get that new toy, that new thing that I thought was going to be so great. And after about 3 days, it was broke. It was messed up. Didn't last. You know, I think sometimes we come to Christ, we trust Him for our eternal salvation, and it's this new thing. It's pretty exciting. It's pretty awesome. But here's the thing about it. Your eternal salvation is not something that you can mess up. Say, well, how is that, preacher? Because Jesus Himself is praying for you. He's praying for you. And so what that means is that even Tim Hobbs can't mess this up. And I mean, I can mess stuff up. I mean, I can do that. All right, so let's think about the intercession of Jesus. Let's think about what that means. Basically, His intercession means that our salvation has been bought and paid for at the cross. It is a finished, accomplished fact, and it is certain. It is sure. Not because of what you and I have said or done or continue to do, but because of what Jesus has said and done and what He continues to do. You say, well, if I keep praying, I'll be saved. No, if Jesus keeps praying, you'll be saved. You see the difference there? I mean, look, we're up and down. Some of us like a yo-yo. Y'all do remember yo-yos, don't you? Man, it's hard getting old. I used to shake my head at those old preachers, Michael. Amen. Well, man, we're up and down. One day we feel good, next day not so good. We do good sometimes, we don't do good. But look, it's about what Jesus has done on the cross. And His death on the cross is crowned with His life as the Son of God, and His eternal life and His intercession are key to keeping us saved. He not only saves us, He keeps us. He doesn't just, turn us loose. And here's the other thing I think is significant about His praying for us, His interceding for us. It is that He does not do this from this lofty vantage point of heaven without an intimate knowledge of where we are. We have one who intercedes for us and prays for us, who understands where we are, who knows what it feels like, who's been hurt, who's gone through the disappointments and the pains and the struggles of life. Notice with me in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. And he writes to us and he says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Folks, what that says to me is that we don't have a high priest who's looking down his nose at us. You remember what happened to Hannah when she was there at the at the tabernacle at Shiloh praying before she had Samuel. She was praying and just moving her mouth. She wasn't even praying out loud. She was just, her lips were moving, but no sound. And Eli, the priest, looked at her and said, "Woman, get up. What are you drinking and coming to the tabernacle drunk for?" My paraphrase. And she said, "Oh, no. Your servant is not a child of the devil. I'm not out here drinking. My soul is burdened down. And I'm crying out to you because of this need I have, or to God because of this need that I have in my heart." Well, you don't have a priest looking down his nose at you this morning, accusing you of anything. You have a high priest who has been where you are, who understands what it's like. And you say, "Well, but he was the Son of God." Yes, but he was the Son of Man. Yes, but he was God in the flesh. Yes, but he was fully man. You say, "Well, I can't reconcile that." No one ever has. And no one ever will. You can't do it. You can't have fully God, fully man in the same person. But we do. It's Jesus. And so Jesus lived a life. I mean, he grew up not in the lap of luxury by any means. His dad was a carpenter, his earthly dad. He grew up learning the trade of a carpenter. You know, I think we fail to grasp everything that Jesus faced. I mean, in his ministry, we see some things. But, you know, one of the things, and you know, we don't know, but I just look at his family and I think, you know, his own brothers didn't believe him at first. Remember in the Gospel of John, they were telling him, "Well, why don't you just go on up to Jerusalem, make a big show up there. Just go on up there. Let's see how you do when you hit the big time. You're such a hot shot. You're such a big deal. Just go on up to Jerusalem." You know how brothers can be? Clint, you with me there? Some of y'all got brothers. Jared, you got some brothers. Well, look. Jesus understands where we are. He knows what's happening in our life. He can relate to us in ways that it's amazing. And this is our high priest. Because of that, let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold on to this. Don't let go of this. Don't for a moment believe the lie of the enemy. Because what will the enemy tell you? Well, the enemy will say to you, "Nobody loves you. Nobody cares about you. You're all alone." The devil will lie to you and he will try to deceive you in every possible way. Don't listen to that. Don't allow him. Because why? Because the Lord Jesus is your intercessor and he knows where you are and he understands what's happening in your life. You say, "Yeah, preacher, but you just don't understand." No, I don't understand, but he does. And he is praying for you. How many of the prayers of Jesus do you suppose, just offhand, take a wild guess, how many of those prayers of Jesus get answered? I can't see any way but that every one of them gets answered. I just don't see any way. The only prayer that I've seen him pray that did not specifically get answered was when he prayed, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as thy will." That's the only one I remember that he ever prayed that wasn't, you know, there was no escaping the cross. Well, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17 says, "Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And folks, your mom may not understand, your dad may not understand, your friend may not understand, your husband, your wife, your pastor, your boss, whoever. But I want to tell you, Jesus understands where you are. Jesus understands what you've gone through. I don't think we can fully grasp, you know, what that really means, but man, it's powerful. Well, then I want to take you back to Isaiah 53 for just a moment. We read a couple of verses, but the verse before that, in Isaiah 53, it says that He is despised. It's Isaiah 53:3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Acquainted with sorrows. He knew. He knows. That's the kind of high priest we have. That's the person we have interceding for us. So let's think about that. Let's think about this. When it says, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Well, Jesus, you know, the very name Jesus means Savior. That's the meaning of His name. Call Him Jesus because He will save His people from their sins. Well, He is able to save. Notice what the writer of Hebrews says. He is able to save them to the uttermost. And that simply means He's able to save them completely. That's all it means. Just completely. Just from A to Z, from beginning to end, everything. He's able to save. Okay? If there's any problem, if there's any flaw, it's not in Jesus. He is able to save. And so this is the basis of our salvation and of our eternal security in Jesus. But then also I want you to think with me. He is our Savior. But I want also to think with me about the fact that He is our Advocate. Notice 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. John writes to us, he says, my little children. Don't you love that? You remember when you were called little children by somebody and you really didn't like it? But you know what? I kind of like it when I read it in the Bible. It kind of reminds me. Yeah, that's what I need to hear. Because I'm like a little child in front of Him. He writes and he says, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an, say it with me, advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, the satisfaction, the payment, the atonement. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So we have an advocate with the Father. And think about that for a moment. Because sometimes I fail, I mess up, and I'm ashamed. Just ashamed. But folks, we have an advocate. We have one who is there before the Father. We didn't read it. I didn't make a note of this, but turn back to Hebrews chapter 1 for just a second. And notice the way the writer begins this whole book of Hebrews. Chapter 1, verse 1. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So, just God has spoken in different ways from different people in different times in the past. Verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His, what? Power? When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Well, folks, the picture that we have today is that there is a man seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And He is there. He is upholding all things by the word of His power. I mean, without His presence, this entire universe would just fly apart. He created everything that we see. He made all that we understand of this world, this universe we live in. And folks, that's the one who is our advocate. That's the one who's seated there in glory, in majesty, in power. And He's praying for you. He's praying for you. Well, He's not only our advocate, though. He is also, let me throw another word in here. He's our mediator. He's our mediator. He's the one who goes between. He's the one who comes and who helps us. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 5, it speaks of this. It says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." He is our mediator. He is the one who comes into the presence of God for us. And there He advocates for us. Because here's what happens in heaven. You remember the story of Job? Remember how it started? The day came when the sons of God, the angels of God, were all gathered there in heaven. They were all come together, and Satan also was there. And the Lord asked him, "What you been doing? What you been up to?" My paraphrase once again. And Satan says, "Walking to and fro upon the earth." And God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And thus began the story of Job. And Job had his entire life turned upside down. But you see, here's the problem. The enemy comes and he accuses us before the throne of God. He is the slanderer. He is the accuser of the brethren. And today he steps up and he says, "Oh, but if you just take away all the blessings that Gloria has, if you just take away all the blessings that Manuel has, if you just take away all the blessings that Raina has, if you just take away all the blessings that Micah has, if you just take away all of that stuff, they'll curse you to your face. They'll turn on you." And sometimes God says, "Okay." Sometimes God says, "Try them." And He'll put a constraint. At first He said, "Don't touch Job. Don't touch, him." The second time it was, "Don't touch his life. Don't take his life." But He afflicted him physically. Folks, look, when it says we have an advocate before the Father, that is significant. Because when the accuser of the brethren steps up to accuse us, we have someone who stands up for us. His name is Jesus Christ. You heard that expression maybe? It's all in who you know. May I say it this way? It's all in who knows you. It's all in who knows you. And if you're a child of God, you've been born again, you have an advocate before the Father. You have a mediator between God and yourself. And that's why we pray in the name of Jesus. That's why we come to Him in the name and the person of Jesus. Because He's our go-between. He's the one that we come to. But then also, and this is the central thought of our message this morning, is He is our intercessor. And an intercessor is one who comes and prays for others. You know, there's nothing wrong in praying for your own needs. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, you ought to start, by praising God, and then you ought to take an honest evaluation of yourself and bring yourself to the throne of God and say, "God, here I am, warts and all. And you know what I need, but here's what I see. Here's what I know I need," before you ever pray for anyone else. Well, I want to ask you to look with me in Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. And that's probably going to be our final scripture we're going to look at. So we'll make a couple of applications here. We're done. Romans 8:34. Paul begins with this question. He says, "Who is he that condemneth?" Well, let me just say to you, it is the devil who condemns. It is the devil who condemns. But then notice Paul's answer. He's not worried about the devil at all. He says, "It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." How precious is that? Well, it becomes very precious because notice the following verses. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And He is today seated at the right hand of the Father, and He is interceding for you. He prays for you with a full awareness of your failures and your shortcomings and your sins and mine. And He prays for us. Why? Because He loves us. And He's adopted us. And we belong to Him. So, it kind of changes the way you think about salvation when you realize that. I want to remind you the story of the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember those guys? Rakshak and Benny, if you're still in video, VeggieTales mode. But those guys were, man, they were courageous. They stood for the Lord. And here's what they said to that evil king who wanted them to worship an idol, a false image. They said, "Our God is able to deliver us. But even if He doesn't, we will not bow down and worship your idol." And so they threw them into the fiery furnace. You remember that? I can't hardly say that without thinking of Brother J.L. Anyway, but here's the thing. When they threw them into the fiery furnace and that king stood up to look and see, and they said, because the soldiers, I mean, they picked some of the strongest, mightiest men in their army to throw them into the fire because it was made so much hotter than normal that they died just throwing them in there. It killed those soldiers. They threw them in there and the king looked in there and said, "Wait a second. Didn't we put three in there?" He said, "Well, I see four of them and they're walking around and they're loose and the fourth one looks like the Son of God." And folks, I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ is your intercessor and He is your advocate and He is your mediator and He is with you. Now, He is seated at the right hand of the Father, but He is with you at all times, in every way, in every trial, in every trouble, in every circumstance. And let me give you one final thought here, and it's the story of Stephen. You remember the story of Stephen? In the book of Acts, Stephen was the first martyr for Christ. And he stood up and he preached a message full of God's Word and truth. And boy, the Jews were just angry about it. And they didn't like it one bit. And they took him out and they stoned him. Remember, Saul held their coats and was party to it, was encouraging it. But they stoned him. They killed him. Remember what he said? He said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father." Well, wait a second. I thought He was seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm going to tell you. He stands for His own. And I believe He was standing that day to welcome Stephen home. To say to Him, I've got this. It doesn't matter what they do to you. It doesn't matter how bad it hurts. It doesn't matter any of that. If you die, it doesn't matter. Because nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing is able to separate you. Not death or life or angels or any other created being. Nothing. That's the power of Jesus, folks. Because it says, wherefore He is able to save them that come unto God by Him, seeking that He ever liveth to make intercession for them. That's the God we serve today. That's the God that you have. That's the God of your salvation. That's who made your salvation. It's not some cheap imitation. It's the genuine article. And if you've got the real thing, you've got something that will, not just for you to hold on to, but you've got something that will hold on to you. Let's bow our heads. Now, this morning, there's some things that we need to believe God about. There's some things that we need to believe God about. Because there's some parts of this that you heard me, but you haven't yet really said, well, that sounds good, preacher, but can that really be true? Can it really be true that God would love me so much? That God would know me so well, but that He would love me so much? Can that be true? And I want to say to you, it's absolutely true. God has, He has given all for you. And He loves you so very much. And He wants you to understand it. And so some of you this morning need to believe. You need to believe. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in Me. Some of you need to believe in Jesus. You need to believe Him for who He is. And for some, that may mean turning from your sin and from yourself and turning to Christ this morning and saying, oh God, come into my life and change me. Save me. I need You. Forgive me. And He will do it. If you will cry out to Him and tell Him from your heart, He will save you. He will set you free. But there's some believers here this morning. And you need to believe God because you've believed a lie. You've believed lies from the enemy, who has told you that you're not worth anything, you're no good, you can't do anything. Well, in and of ourselves, we're not any good. We can't do anything. But through Jesus Christ, I can do all things. I want to invite you today to say, yes, Lord. I don't understand all of this. I don't know how all this works, but God, I believe it and I accept it. And I ask You to help me. There's some Christians in this room just need to cry out to God. Say, oh Lord, I need You today. There may be some specific things in your heart that you need to deal with. Whatever it is, would you answer God's call in this moment? Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, our mediator, our advocate with You, our intercessor this morning. Father, I pray, oh God, I pray that You would set men and women and young people and boys and girls free from anything and everything that's been holding them back from You. God, if it's their sin, Lord, set them free. Lord, if it's an attitude, if it's some past incident that's hurt them, God, set them free. Lord Jesus, bring the truth of Your light and Your joy into our hearts this morning, God. Banish the lies of the enemy. Rebuke him from us. If God is speaking to your heart this morning, but you answer God's call, you need to be saved, just come. Just come. Trust in Christ. Quit wondering. Quit guessing, hoping. Settle it. If you need to be saved, get up right now. Come, take my hand. I'd love to pray with you. Christian, some things in your heart that need to be settled, need to be answered. This altar's here for you. You make an altar there where you are, it doesn't matter. But get on your face before God and say, oh God, I need You. I want You.